welcome to a bonus episode of Material Podcast, a show all about the Google and Android universe. I am one of your hosts, UX designer Yasmin Evian, and joining me as always, my wonderful co-host, tech columnist Andy Inako.
Hello. Don't we feel special today doing a special?
We do. We're a special bunch. And not to forget our app developer, Russell Ivanovich. I think you're ours now.
What? I feel so bonus now. I'm bonused up.
And this episode of Material is brought to you by our beloved listeners worldwide. Thank you, beloved listeners.
Yeah, next time don't forget to send us a script to read. I'm going to be so used to trying to like read something from the screen. Where's your script, listeners? Come on.
Where's your script? Yeah, come on. Yeah, they're slacking here. So next week on the Real Live Show, we'll tell everyone who won the most golds by subscribing 100 times to Material, or not subscribing, supporting Material Podcast 100 times. Just kidding, that didn't actually happen. Although that would have been nice. I would have not complained. But our episode is going to be a few of our favorite things. I thought you were singing, Russell. Come on.
Something and roses and black colored.
Android and
roses. I'm not very good at rapping, sorry.
You also could have gone with the Oprah style riff. Time for, yes, where you thought you were going to be here talking about getting the proper amount of sleep during menopause, but it's our favorite things. Oh my God, oh my God, we're going to get free soaps. Oh my God, free soaps.
Andy, is there something under my chair? Should I be checking under my chair?
Yeah, everyone check under your chair.
You live in Australia. You should always be checking under your chair.
Not with
I would
your
be
hands,
checking. Though. I would be hopping everywhere if I were living in Australia. So please, yes, do.
I found some gum under my chair, Andy. So thank you for that. That's really generous.
Awesome. Thank you. This episode was inspired by a listener tweet. We want to give a shout out to Caleb, who asked us, have you ever done an episode where you talk about launchers / phones you use as daily drivers? So this kind of inspired our discussion about talking about our favorite things, you know, maybe our favorite launchers and our favorite phones, and a bonus question that none of us knows what each one is going to ask. So we're pretty excited.
Yeah, and just to make sure that we're very clear on this, we're not even necessarily saying that each of these picks is the best ever and it's the most advanced. We're literally talking about almost none of us had to do any research whatsoever because it is literally, well, in this category, what do I use every single day? And for each one of these, we can pretty much just think about 10 minutes ago when the last time we used this thing. So these are going to be idiosyncratic. But you'll either, if we all agree on something, that should say something. If we all pick something different, then that should indicate something about how each of us interact with this kind of hardware, this kind of service. So I'm looking forward to, I'm going to be taking notes as I go because oftentimes I don't find out about something much better than the app I'm using until I see someone else using something better.
I'm going to be silently judging both of you on your choices as well.
We are going around and going to be talking about hardware, which is the first one on the list, favorite phone, Yasmin. Oh, I'm top of the list on this one right now. Okay, I gotta prep. Oh man, I wasn't prepped for that. Okay, so favorite phone right now is, of course, the Nexus 6P, which is amazing, and I have it in frost white, which I think looks a lot slicker than the silver one. I know they look pretty identical, but I remember comparing them, and the frost white of the Nexus 6P just looks like super, super clean. And you know, it still has the nice metal body, so it just, it's such a nice phone. It's such a nice phone. I love the 6P because I think the screen size, that's probably one of the things that I do like. I like the big screens. It's one of the things that I learned later on when I got the 6P. I was like, you know what? I like the bigger screen. Who cares, you know, what other everyone else is complaining about, these phones are too big. I'm like, I actually really do like it. One of my, from a just like hardware perspective, it's just super, super slick. It's pretty thin phone. And although it's very big, it's something that can still kind of go into your back pocket without causing a huge fuss. And I love the placement of the fingerprint scanner, which is on the back, which allows me to just pick up my phone and, you know, put my finger on there and it automatically unlocks by the time I get it. And Russell is shaking his head at me because I don't know, Russell, it's not your turn to speak yet. It's Andy's turn to tell us what his favorite hardware is. And then you'll have a chance, Russell.
Yes, I could not be more diametrically opposed to the false idol that Yasmin has praised. I just can't believe that she would go for something so off the wall and different from my pick, which is the Nexus 5X. No, actually, yes, it is the Nexus 5X. And I'll admit that the reason why I bought it was because twofold, because it was a Black Friday sale and I got it for what was then the ridiculously cheap price of $320. And I thought that it would be I often have phones that are on loan, but I can't use them personally. And so I thought, well, actually, since it's so cheap, I may as well just buy one just to have one that I'd never have to, I can put personal information on. I'll have it for my library. And then when I was just setting it up, I just fell so intensely in love with it that I just, okay, SIM card goes out of my iPhone, goes into this one. My testing of the Apple Watch is now officially over. I love the way they've traded off power features. It's not the most powerful phone in the world. I wish it had more RAM, system RAM, because oftentimes switching apps is a little bit slow, but it has a great camera. But everything they did to make it work for that price point works really, really great. I agree with everything you said about the placement of the fingerprint scanner. I wish every phone had the fingerprint scanner in the back there. Mine is basic piano black, always a good choice. And I couldn't be happier with her. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I could be happier with it. I'm not saying that I wish I'd bought the 6P instead. I'm saying that over the course of the past several months, it's been very, very hard for me to keep my hands off of Google's Loaner 6P and just saying, well, what if I were just testing it for Android? And because I was put off by the size, and also, again, I bought this because it was less expensive, but there are times where I kind of miss that larger screen. It does have a couple extra camera features that I kind of wish I had. All I'm saying is that when it comes to the next round of Google Nexus devices or Google phones, if they choose to rename it, I probably will lean towards the larger one. And as much as I really like Samsung hardware, because it really is the jewelry, the iPhone sort of really nicely styled thing, I can't. It'll take a lot to sway me from the idea of getting my updates directly from Google, because I know it's going to be supported for a few years. I know that theoretically, unless I've done something to tick off Google recently, I'm going to get the new Android Nougat at some point before the Samsung people. So I'm very, very happy with it.
Oh, it's my turn. All right, I guess I'm the contrarian here. I use the Galaxy S7 Edge, and I'll tell you why. Like, it's literally just the hardware. Like, it takes amazing photos, like the best camera I've ever used in a phone, I think, by far. I really like the high-resolution screen. It's a really nice sort of OLED panel that's got really, you know, bright colors, high resolution. I can manage the Samsung software. You know, we'll talk about that a bit later, but when you install, you know, your own keyboard and your own launcher and that kind of thing, it's perfectly fine. And I chose it in black. I did have a look at some of the other colors. There are some that, you know, we don't get in Australia and that sort of thing, but the black, I don't know. There's something about a black phone just makes it look like, you know, the obelisk just sitting there. Do you feel like you have to reach out and touch it? Some of the things I like is it's smaller than the 6P, so the same screen size in a much sort of smaller package. I don't mind the fingerprint reader being on the front. I don't mind it on the back either. The one problem I have with it on the back is, let's say you've got it in a car mount holder. The ones that I have anyway, there's no way you're getting your finger behind there. And I know you shouldn't be using your phone in the car, but, you know, if someone happens
Russell,
to...
why are you using it in the car?
I knew you were going to say that. But it is really handy. Same thing when you've got it on your desk. You don't have to pick up your phone
Bluetooth,
your phone.
Unlock. Sorry, I'm providing solutions for
my question.
Trusted devices. Come
my
on.
Question, not your question. I didn't interrupt during your question. I just shook
we're
my head very disapprovingly.
You're right.
Sorry, Russell. We but apologize.
I have also using the Note 7 at the moment. I think I actually prefer the S7 Edge. It's a little bit smaller. It has exactly the same battery life. It's a very, very slick phone. It's also waterproof, Yasmin. I haven't yet dropped it in a pool or a toilet or anything like that, but should I desire to, I'd be able to.
Why would you desire to drop it in? Okay, we're not here to judge.
We're just here to talk. Everyone has their turn and can speak.
We're going to judge anyway, but we're not here to judge. Next category.
Just quietly.
Since we talked about phones, our favorite phone cases, if applicable, and one of the things that makes me able to use lots of different phones is, so long as I can get a spec candy shell grip case for it, I'll be super, super, super happy with it. Every phone that I've ever had is going to be this same case. because it's, I love cases that are super, super snug. It's like there's not even a millimeter of wiggle room here, but it's just like the, it says grip. It is just coated with rubber on all sides. It's thick. I take a lot of pictures with my phone, and that means it's not going to, I can lean out someplace and hold it with one hand. I know it's not going to slip out. I can put it on the armrest of my sofa, and it's not going to slowly slide off and drop to the floor. It's not going to slip out of my pocket. I just, it really is the, it really becomes my phone once I put a spec candy shell grip on it. And I've had this on the 5X for since November of or December of last year, and it looks like it's been bopping around my pocket for close to a year, but it's not peeling anything off. It still looks pretty great. So so long as I keep making them, I'll keep using them.
Nice. For my part, I hate to be the contrarian yet again, but I can't bring myself to use a case. I get why people put cases on their phones. You want to make it more grippy. You want to protect the investment you've made and all that sort of thing. But for me, especially with something like the Galaxy S7 Edge, you take this thing with amazing industrial design, and I've tried to put it into a few cases, and I'm like, I just don't like it. And I do like the fact that it's easier to slip in and out of my pocket, so there's no sort of extra grip there. I get that if I drop it, it would smash. There is a downside, but for me, no case.
You know, unlike Russell, I can't get a phone every month. So, you know, I have to put a case on mine. No, I am currently rocking the Photos Live case, which is pretty awesome. So Google announced these Photos Live cases, which allowed you to upload any photo that you wanted. And then you could also provide, they have like different graphical treatments that you can add to it. They also have the live case that has like the map. So you can choose a location in the map and provide different treatments. So it's actually really, really slick. They're $35 to get. And you can, upload any photo or select something from the map, and they look awesome. But the selling point of this one, or it's not really the selling point, but one of the things that they were trying to get to was that they added this shortcut button at the back, which allows you to long press on it on the back. And there's an app already, so it can, you can decide like which app it's going to launch. And I currently have mine to launch I currently have it right now to launch my flashlight app, but as you can see, it's actually, I'm trying to do it right. You can't see it. Everyone, Andy and Russell can see it. There we go.
Whoa.
I'm trying to get it, and it's kind of hard. So this is a cool case, and the button would have been a lot cooler if it's a lot easier to press down, but I've never been able to actually get it in a position where it's like super easy for me to press down on that button, and I know it's going to work. So I kind of just have it for the flashlight just because I'm like, oh, okay, flashlight. That's not a thing I use all the time, but it would be nice to have like a physical button for it. So that's one thing. The other thing that this phone case does within the app is it allows you to have like this live wallpaper, which essentially gets the wallpaper or the picture that was on your photo case and embeds it as a wallpaper on yours. So it's actually really cool. But the reason why I got this Photos Live case is because Mark Edwards did some awesome graphics. And it's actually one of the design that I have on my phone right now is in the color of like the new background for Android N. And so it has like the purple and the pink colors on it. And it's just super, super nice. And it's actually really like slim design. So you were saying, Andy, that you really like stuff that's really slim onto the phone. This is super slim and it doesn't feel bulky at all. And it just looks beautiful because Mark Edwards designed this beautiful graphic. So Photos Live cases are really cool. And I've actually have dropped it and it's protected my phone. I love it. It's one of my favorite cases because it's super snug.
Ooh, our next topic, I'll read it exactly here, is charging thingy. Which charging thingy do you use? And I get to go first. I've had a lot of charging thingies in my time, you know, battery packs and various clip-on things and things that go around your phone. My current one of choice is the Mophie Power Station 3X. Firstly, because it has three times in the name, so it's three times better than everything else. But mainly because it's got a fairly big battery, it's slim, and it does something that I think only the new generation of chargers do, in that it can fast charge your phone. So a lot of the previous battery packs I've had, you plug your phone in and it's like 5 hours till it's charged. And you're like, oh, this is fun. Like 5 hours. Yeah, that's why I carry this thing, so I can wait 5 hours to charge. With the new one, I plug my phone in and it's like, hey, 50 minutes. I'm like, that is much better. If we can get to a full charge in 50 minutes, I'm a lot happier. So that's my choice.
I have an Anker PowerCore Plus for my battery pack. And so this is what it's for the portable charger that I carry. And also like yours, Russell, it has the quick charge technology. So it has USB-C integrated. And so it's actually really cool because it will actually works like when you plug it in directly into the wall and it says quickly charging, because the way that the Nexus, the way the quick charging for the Nexus works, it's different than what the like Moto and I think Samsung were doing. So it required something different. So I had to do some searching and found one that actually did work on the Nexus phones. So the Anker Power Core 2, or not 2, sorry, Power Core Plus is the one I'm using. My only downside of this this awesome, like this thing is awesome. It's like huge and can charge your phone for forever. My only downside is that, you know how USB-C, you can do power either way? So for instance, if I were to plug in a USB-C on my watch to my phone, I could charge my watch, or my watch can charge my phone, although that would be a little weird. Well, anyways, it goes both ways. So when you get and plug in, if like the USB-C is plugged into the battery pack and then you plug it into your phone, it automatically starts draining battery from your phone to charge the battery pack. And I was like, that's like the dumbest design ever, because why would anyone want that? So that is my only pet peeve. You have to turn it on and then plug in the USB-C cord and then plug it into your phone and it'll start charging your phone. Or, you know, I've had issues on my phone where it's like, would you like to charge the device, or would you like the device to charge your device? And for reasons, I don't know if it was because of the beta version, I was having issues. So anyways, that is my recommendation.
Another one where I'm pretty much with you. I have a really, really good time with the Anker Power Core chargers. And my rule is that any time that I feel like I need a new charger, I will buy the biggest of the big ass Power Core chargers I can possibly get. Because it's like when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil or lack of power outlets, for I have 26,800 milliamp hours in my bag. I mean, when you have that and you're traveling with a tablet and a couple of phones, I could be stuck in an airport for 3 days, or I could even decide that, oh man, look, that power outlet in this hotel room is just 8 feet so far away that I would have to like move this desk 3 feet to plug into it. I won't even bother. I'll just plug it into my battery pack. And it is great. It has two USBs on it, which means that there have been times where I have offered a second USB outlet to a stranger on a train who could not find a power outlet on the train to charge. Oh, hey, please, unless you want to charge your phone more than 11 times, please, I have more than enough power. And so I'm probably going to buy a new one. I have two of them, and I keep one in every bag. I don't like have one that I move because I never know where I'm going to need it. But I'm probably going to buy another one this year because it's time to get one that plugs into USB Type-C, and all the ones that I have are micro USB.
All right. So favorite laptop and desktop. I have a MacBook Pro. I have the 13-inch at home and the 15-inch for work. So MacBook Pro, that's just what I use.
Yeah, it's, again, I'm with you. It's and that's part of the problem or glory of being a Mac user. It's like, yes, it's time for a new laptop because I accidentally broke my last one. Now, which of these 1, 2, 3 different models will I get? The one that's way underpowered for my needs, the one that is really, really experimental right now and very, 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 very inconvenient to use, or the new version of the same model I've been buying every 2 or 3 years for the past 10 years. So, yes, a MacBook Pro. When I broke mine last year, I didn't even consider anything else because it's like, okay, whatever.
This sounds so weird. I'm just going to say I have a Mac Pro hooked up to a 34-inch LG display because the bigger the display, the faster the computer, the faster I can get my work done. That's the excuse I give myself because I'm a developer. I did buy the adorable little MacBook One thing for travel. It is terrible. I don't really like it, but that's the laptop I'm currently stuck with. It's got one USB port, which I thought I could deal with. And every now and again, I'm like, oh, I'm an app developer. I have to deploy something to a phone and charge my laptop. Oh, not to mention the 1 hour install times. But anyway, Mac Pro, 34-inch display. I'm waiting on a new MacBook Pro. I hope Apple does something magical, you know, towards the end of this year, and then maybe I can go back to living the laptop lifestyle.
Next, tablets, which can be computers that are tablets or e-readers or whatever. Easy one for me. I love my 12.9-inch iPad Pro. You've heard me talk before about how I sometimes regret that I like a thing I'm reviewing so much that 30 or 60 days later I wind up having to buy one of my own. Actually was looking so forward to this device that I actually bought one and received it like 12 hours before my Apple loaner of the exact same top-of-the-line model arrived. It has totally replaced my MacBook Pro as the computer that I travel with and the computer that I leave the house with. And I am just as productive with it as with my MacBook, if not more. So absolutely love it. Some of the best money I ever spent.
Yeah, for me, for tablets, I loved the iPad when it first came out, the iPad 1, the iPad 2. I'm like, I love these things. They're so amazing. And then I completely stopped using tablets. I think the iPad mini was the last one I sort of read books on and that kind of thing. And that was 3 years ago. And now they're all just sitting in the office gathering dust and pulled out for occasional testing. So for some reason, the tablet just hasn't found a place in Russell's life. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Russell. There's not really a tablet that really has captured my heart. I'm sorry, tablets. It's not you. It's me.
But I'll tell you what has captured my heart, Yasmin, is wearables. The current one I have is the Samsung. I swear I'm not a Samsung shill, but it's a Samsung Gear S2. The thing I love about it is it's such a small, compact watch. You know, we see a lot of these smart watches. They're huge. Even the Apple one is very chunky sort of height-wise. This thing is slim. It's as small as a quote-unquote normal watch. I really like the spinny thing they've done with the dial. So it has an external dial that actually turns, so you don't even have to touch the screen if you don't want to. And it's just a really nice piece of hardware. I've never had it sort of disconnect on me. I've never had it do anything weird. Yes, it doesn't run Android Wear, and yes, it doesn't run any of those apps, but I still love it. I can't get enough of it.
My favorite wearable is Android Wear. That's kind of what I'm rocking. I didn't name my actual Asus ZenWatch
because it's a tablet,
enormous, and it's huge. It's actually that's my favorite tablet, the Asus ZenWatch that I wear on my wrist. No, I love Android Wear as, you know, software, but in terms of it's like the one of the first generation watches, and I'm holding out to see the one that comes out with the Google Assistant that's been rumored. So just Android Wear, anything.
Yeah, I love Android Wear. It has a sense of purpose to it and a real point of view that I absolutely love. I just keep using it and using it and using it. And I was really, really happy when the second generation of the Moto 360 came out, because I think that Motorola had the right idea, with the first one, which is you try to make this look as much as a regular watch as possible. And with the second generation, they finally made it small enough that it looks like a regular, at least a regular man's watch. It's not on my... The only thing I wish that... this summer, I'm appreciating the fact that Apple ships its watches with like rubber, like exercise sort of bands, because after all the sweating and being caught in the rain that happened when I'm on my bike this summer, the beautiful Horween leather band it's an interesting color now. It's an interesting texture now, and so I actually bought one of those plastic mode bands for it just so that I could hose it down and get it unstinky. But yeah, I did not have a problem giving up my Apple Watch after I was done testing it. I was really happy to go back to the Moto 360.
Next up is favorite headphones or speakers. I have these headphones that I was given to as a gift. My husband bought these. They're Klesch. Is that how you pronounce the brand?
I'm going to agree with you because I don't know either.
Klesch? I don't know how to pronounce it. But they're in-ear, so I like in-ear headphones. But the cool thing about these is that you can program the button. It only has one button, so you can, you know, pause and play. But you can program the taps with your Android phone. It has an app so that you could I forget what the different triggers are. So, like, three taps gets you somewhere else. So those are kind of what I am rocking. And also for Bluetooth, I have escaped me. It's really great. I love it. No, the Boom, UE Boom. Sorry, the original UE Boom. So that one's a nice one.
I had to sort of cheap out here. I don't have favorite Bluetooth speaker or headphones. I basically really is whatever's cheap or whatever happens to be in the closest drawer. And I'm unusual because I test so many phones and I never send back the earphones I was sticking in my filthy ears for 2 or 3 weeks. So I've got like so many pairs of Apple headphones that's usually what I go to. When I do order phones, I really just like whatever's cheap because I don't spend my time in the living room listening to stuff on my headphones. So I tend to rebuy the Amazon premium headphones, which is the only really great thing that happened with the Amazon Fire Phone. It came with really, really good $15 headphones, and those are the ones I tend to reorder.
When I'm sailing on my yacht or flying in first class, I prefer to use the Bose QC35. I'm starting to feel like a rich douchebag here. Some of these choices are very expensive, but I do love the Bose Quiet Comfort earphones. I know they're expensive, but my goodness, when you put those things on and they literally cancel every noise that's in the office, or maybe the noisy kids, you know, running around your house or whatever, and it it makes its own sort of silence, and it's, I swear, it's zen-like. Like, I'm happy to pay for this experience. You just put those things in your ears and you're like, ah. Oh. They also, they do Bluetooth straight to your phone. They have a cool NFC tap to pay, pair. I'm sure you can tap to pay as well, but it pairs via NFC, so it's instant pair. When you turn it on, it instantly pairs, and
is
you
it,
can take...
Is it inconvenient just like banging your head against the cash register when you're... Do you get funny looks?
What are you doing? I'm paying. Just don't... I'm paying with my voice.
I want this candy bar! Thank you! Oh, I do have a custom account. Here you go. Bam, bam. I didn't take... Don't worry, I keep it up.
That's exactly me with these headphones. And also, I did not realize this, and I probably should have. They take phone calls as well. So one time my phone rang and I accidentally answered on the headphones. I'm like, what the heck is happening? But yes, they also do the phone call stuff, which is cool.
I was wondering what was going on. Next up is a network wireless router. And I have Google's On Hub, and I have the... Which one was the first one? And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, not the Asus one. I have the TP-Link one. I love it. It's awesome being able to control it from your app if I ever need to restart it. And if my network ever goes down, a little notification tells me, hey, Esmeen, we're so sorry. I know you're crying right now, but you've lost internet access.
By default, I'm still using the Airport Express that I put in about 5 or 6 years ago. Unfortunately, it really is like the piping in your house where it's fine and you don't even think about it until a pipe bursts, even though in the past 5 or 10 years, there's better ways to get to get internet through your house. I'm probably going to be replacing it sometime in the next 2 or 3 months. But unfortunately, I really am stagnated with, okay, it's working and I wish it worked better, but it's not making me angry. It's not as angry as not having Ethernet in this particular room of my house. So why don't I just spend $30 running Ethernet to that room?
For my part, I did buy a new router about 6 months ago. I had some German one, little red thing. I don't remember what it's called. But the new one I have, it's called the Nighthawk. It's made by Netgear. The ADSL model is the D7000. I think the Wi-Fi only is the AC1900, but it's black and it looks intimidating. And it promises to, and I quote, unleash the power of your home Wi-Fi. And I had a lot of problems with my old router in that I was trying to stream, you know, things like Xbox games to my PC and other things like that. And it was terrible. Like, the Wi-Fi speeds in my house were not amazing. And I live in a pretty small house. I plug this thing in, and I kid you not, I get like 5 or 6 times the Wi-Fi speed now that I do. And it has 3 antennas. So how can something with 3 antennas not be good? I don't know.
I will admit that when I'm looking at replacement routers, I'm looking at one that looks like a spider on its back trying to right itself. Like, that's kind of way too ugly for me to buy and put out there. On the other hand, it's so nerdy, I actually want to now have it in my living room instead of in my office.
Oh, there is a more expensive version of this Netgear thing that it looks exactly like that. I'm sure you've seen it, Andy. It has like 12 antennas or something and just looks like a giant spider. Yeah.
It looks like one of those shadow fighters from the Babylon.
So it's not something you want to have in your living room, essentially.
Well, I don't know. It's definitely a talking piece. They're like, what is that?
That's my Wi-Fi router.
Spider or a router. That should be that should be the new show. Spider or router, spider or router.
Also, again, Australia. You're used to seeing things, creatures much, much more dangerous than that. Just at least it's not moving.
That's not a spider. Okay. This is a spider.
Lots of good meat on that one. You're right not to throw it away. Okay, next, the what streaming video device / I've called this thing what plugs into the TV because it's a very broad category. I have to go with my Roku. I've been testing the I've got the Apple TV 4 in my bedroom because I'm sort of like keeping an eye on it. I've got the Android TV a Shield in the living room that I really, really like. So maybe my answer will be different in a few months. But Roku, they're cheap. They work great. Everything supports it. They're just no fooling around, no nonsense. They just work. They're not complicated at all, and they have a great remote. So I might just upgrade to the best, to the 4K version of the Roku.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about the Roku. We don't get it in Australia much. So for me, it's the Chromecast to do all my casting from my iOS and Android devices. And for the TV part, I just have a Mac Mini with some software called iTV, so EYETV, that gets all the terrestrial sort of TV. So between those two things, if there's content out on the internet or coming, you know, through wireless or whatever, I can pretty much get it.
I'm loving Chromecast capabilities. So whether that is on a $35 Chromecast or built into the Nexus Player, the Android TV allows you to Chromecast things to it, which is actually really great. If you're watching a YouTube video and you realize, hey, I want to watch this on the big screen, you just click that little Chromecast icon and send it to your Chromecast enabled device. So I think Chromecast, that's really where it's at for me. But, you know, I like the Nexus Player having a remote to just kind of surf through different videos.
Nice. I'm looking at the next category here. Andy's put smart home in quotes, which I really like, by the way. I think it says everything you need to know about the Internet of Things. Our smart home device or hub. I have an Amazon Echo, which I picked up while I was in the US. Again, something you can't get here in Australia. And the only smart home thing I have it hooked up to are 3 LifeX bulbs. So they're the Wi-Fi bulbs that can change colors and you can control via your phone. Full disclosure, I got 2 of those for free because I know some of the developers there, but I did kickstart the first one, so I'm a backer. And the thing I love, I absolutely love getting home and I'm like, Alexa, turn on the lounge. And the lounge thing turns on. And the light that Alexa is controlling, I kid you not, is 10 centimeters, so 1 inch or 2 inches or whatever it is from the actual thing. But I love it anyway because I don't have to touch it. And at night I can just be, Alexa, turn off the lounge. And that's the only thing it does in my house.
There's something about calling turn on the lounge that makes me think that like a leopard skin circular bed rises out of the floor and starts turning. Pink lights start coming on. A mirrored ball slowly goes in and some Mantovani music starts playing.
Oh, my other globe is called Playroom, Andy. You have no idea what happens in there.
I bet people named Alexa really, really don't like their name right now. Like, stop telling me what to do.
You look up the weather yourself. Jeez.
You do it. Ask Google. For my favorite smartphone device, I love my Nest thermostat because it allows me to save lots and lots of money on electricity, and I can cool my house down and have it ready to go. But I'd also add OnHub to the mix because why, Yasmin? Is because that you can integrate some things to it. Right now, there's not a whole lot, but one of the things that it is integrated into If This Then That. So based on people logging in, connecting to the network, you can create some triggers to do some other stuff. But yeah, it's probably going to go Nest. And once Google Home finally hits the homes, you know how I feel about Google. It's going to be, my love's going to be for Google.
My hat belongs to Google.
I choose you, Google.
There are a lot of I use a lot of little things for smart home / automation stuff, but really the award has to go to the Amazon Echo. It's something that I really don't want to not have in my house anymore. I bought a second one so that I'd no longer have to yell from upstairs to the kitchen downstairs and then listen really carefully. And it's not even just this huge push button jet age home of the future sort of stuff where lights are coming on and again revolving leopard skin covered bed coming into view when date night is on. I'm just talking about just simple things like being able to get information without using my hands or without even looking at something, and little bits of information like when is my next appointment, and just give me that information or remind me to do this. And even just as a music player, I've got much better speakers. I've got my home theater stereo system 12 feet away from where I've got my Amazon Echo, but I can't just simply, while I'm washing dishes, suddenly say, play the White Album and have that really amazing speaker system start playing music, but Alexa will just simply go ahead and play. So I've now had to buy 2 of them, even though I again was sent one for review that has not gone back yet. But now it goes into storage. But that's how much I like this. If I buy it once, great. If I buy it twice, yeah, I'm pretty addicted to this thing.
I'm imagining your house, Andy, is just full of like X-Review products, just lining the walls, like in your cupboard, under your desk. There's like shelves and shelves of like headphones and tech things. And
so sometimes it is a quick problem. I have to, after the 30 or 60 days, sometimes they really don't want to spend the money to have it shipped back. So, but I can't use it for ethical purposes. And so I will hold on to it until I find somebody or know somebody whose life is going to be changed by the fact that they're getting like a $450 phone that for me is like, oh, it's just this piece of crap. Please, please take it. So I need the space in my drawer. It's like, really? I can have this $450 phone? Take it. I've used it. You know, I'll just give me a chance to wipe it. Like, oh my God, you're so generous. Like, no, you're helping me find places to put the new phones that are coming in.
I love it. So the moral of this story is be friends with Andy.
Hey, I haven't gotten any free stuff.
Trick-or-treaters are very happy. I'm the one house that will do better than full-size candy bars. Next, we're going to go to a very, very limited category. There are very few things to talk about here. Software. Oh, wait, no, that's pretty much everything that exists everywhere on the planet. So we're going to designate this a quasi-lightning round. So we're going to go for breadth and not depth. So this could be your basic BuzzFeed site rip-off, newsical sort of website sort of take on each of these topics. So we're going to start off with messaging apps or services. I'm still on Google Hangouts, chiefly because I switched from Apple iMessage. I use it because it's there and I can browbeat other people into using it. And I'm not someone who can use a lot of different messaging apps. So it's definitely just Hangouts for me.
Yeah, for me, it's WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and Hangouts, and Google Messenger for SMS. And the main reason is none of my friends / family can seem to standardize on one. So my brother messages me on Hangouts. The rest of my family use Messenger. There's another group of like extended family that on WhatsApp. It's just where the people are, that's where I am. And yeah, Google Messenger for SMS, just because I like the interface. It has integration with almost nothing that I have on my phone, but I'm like, the interface is so good, I'm just going to keep using it.
I am going to say Slack for messaging. I use it to talk to coworkers and also, you know, people, friends. I have some of those groups. Hangouts for SMS because it integrates with Project Fi, which means I can get to my text messages on the web. And, you know, this one is not necessarily a messaging app, but it is some form of communication messaging. And I'm going to give it out to Duo because it's so, so simple to start a video chat.
So the next thing we have here is mail apps, and my choice is very boring. I just use Google Inbox. I like swiping messages. I like the interface. It's everywhere. So I use the Android version, the iOS version, the web version.
Google Inbox has my heart on Android. It is my favorite mobile one. It's just so helpful.
I switched to Outlook, not just as my mail host, and I've also using, of course, the Outlook app. Really, really great mobile app. I don't know why, but the mobile apps for both iOS and for Android are much better than the desktop apps on any platform. I don't know why, but love it. Love the web app. It's really, really great.
Next one up is Notes app, and this is going to be a very, very difficult for one because if you don't know anything about Yasmin, she loves Markdown editors, so this was a hard one for her to answer. I will say on the desktop, it is IA Writer, and they also have an Android app, which is really nice, but I also like Jotterpod on Android, so those are great. But, you know, one of the ones that I've actually been using a whole lot is Google Keep. It's just so, so simple to use.
Me too. I've changed my standard down to Google Keep, mostly because it really doesn't get in my way the way that other apps do. It really is just for capturing a thought that I don't want to lose, including just bookmarking stuff from my desktop browser so that I'll have it in the field. So well done for that team.
Yeah, it's Google Keep for me as well. And it's a little bit sad for third-party developers. I'm sorry, but it's the thing that's pre-installed. It's just easy. It's everywhere. That's what I use.
All right, next one up is Launcher app. And, you know, I love me some Action Launcher. It's pretty close to stock, plus some. So that is my app of choice.
I'm down to stock. I should maybe look at Action Launcher and others, but it's been a while since I've been dissatisfied with the stock launcher.
Yeah, on all my Samsung devices, I actually install Google Now Launcher. And I'm really sorry, Chris Lacey. I love Action Launcher as well, but I just find I don't use any of its features. The stock launcher does everything I want it to do. I don't need anything else. I'm like, yeah, that's what I use.
Next, we have camera apps. I do often use the stock Google app when I'm doing photography. I really love Adobe Lightroom really expanded their camera capture feature, and I wish they released it as its own app because it allows you to make a lot of adjustments on the fly, and also it'll save as a digital negative or as a raw file. And the difference between being satisfied with what you get and being able to turn whatever you captured there at the beach with exactly the photo that you wanted to get, that means that you have the digital raw file on your desktop, so captured all that data.
So in terms of camera apps for me, it's the stock one that comes with Samsung. And again, it's one of these pre-installed things. I double-click the home button, it opens, it works. I tap, I take a picture. I've never kind of looked into the rest of the ecosystem.
Yeah, I am rocking the stock Google camera app that came with my Nexus. It works for me. And that's kind of what I'm using. Next up is that we have the music app, favorite music app of choice. And I'm going to go with Google Play Music just because it's available on the web, on, you know, your iPad and Android phone. So that's the one of the things that I will say that I do like about Google Play Music is that they'd have some suggestions for the playlist where like, hey, it's 5 o'clock at night. Is it, you know, do you want some music for unwinding or happy hour with friends and stuff? So the contextual stuff is fun.
I maintain my subscription to Google Play Music, and it's what I use when I want to listen to an album that I don't actually own. But I love Plex because I have my own library, and it's the easiest one for sharing a library on every device you have, no matter where it is in the world, and having the same playlists everywhere. It really is like building your own cloud music service, and it doesn't screw up. And the player is really, really pretty and sweet, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I used to not be a fan of streaming music services. I was all about, oh, I must have my own music in my own disc. But now I'm just Google Play Music. I finally caved. I signed up for their family plan. It's awesome. I use it everywhere.
Related, what is our favorite podcatcher app? This will be an application that downloads podcasts and organizes them. Yes, it's Pocket Cast, damn you.
Oh, it's Pocket Cast for me. Although if I want to seem objective, I can call it Picket Cats. I use Picket Cats for my podcasts.
Of course, Pocket Cast. Is there any other podcasting apps on Android? Kidding, all those podcasting people that develop apps for Android. I'm kidding. We have love for you too, but you know we're Pocket Cast. I'm sorry.
Oh, we should move on before we get the hate mail. So what about things like where do you stream your movies, your videos, and that sort of thing? I'm really vanilla in the sense it's just YouTube for me. That's the main app that I use. That seems to be where all the videos I watch are. So
yeah, movies, if I'm going to buy them, I am going to buy them off Google Play, the movies. And if I am going to watch something streaming, usually we watch Netflix and YouTube, of course.
Yeah, this was kind of a weird category in retrospect. I will have to say Plex and YouTube, because it depends on where the damn thing is. I don't Plex for all the stuff that I've bought and downloaded and ripped from Blu-ray, but if it's on Hulu, I'll get it on Hulu. If it's on CBS, I'll get it on CBS. So yeah, I get an astonishing amount of my video entertainment through YouTube, and it's one of the reasons why I really did cancel my cable a couple months ago, and I haven't missed it at all.
Next up, Twitter or other microblogging app. And I never thought I would say this, but I actually really do love the Twitter official app because I actually like the built-in memories. It helps me see that and just some of the integrations, things that they've added, how they display things. So I guess, you know, I followed just like I'm seeing Russell's notes. And well, I won't spoil it. But you know what? I didn't know I was going to love the Twitter official app. I was originally using Falcon Pro and also Phoenix, which, but when the developer moved over from Falcon Pro, moved over to the Twitter official app, is he really started making some improvements. So high five to the team at Twitter that works on Android.
Yeah, I'm on Phoenix. I love it because it is such a material app, and I love material. And it really shows why it's a good idea to have third-party developers giving their own twist to a Twitter app. I wish that Twitter would back away from this idea of, no, we're trying to corral everybody into our official app. It is a nice app, but it's not tailored for everybody. It's tailored for their image of the average person.
Yeah, for me, it's the official Twitter app as well now. I was the same as Yasmin. I used to use Falcon Pro. I loved how simple and sort of sleek it was. I reluctantly moved over to the official app when it got a dark theme, and I've kind of been liking it more and more since. I wish it would stop doing those suggestion things that you keep having to press the X, and it's like, I don't want to see this again, and it shows it to you again mysteriously anyway. But the team there has done a good job of turning the app around. Like, if you look at what it was 2 years ago and what it was now, it's come a long way.
Now, fitness app or related app, this could be workout app, sleep, meditation, whatever. I love Google Fit because I am fundamentally lazy. And so a fitness app wants to help me to use it. And I don't mean that it starts encouraging me to like, oh, you should run up the stairs instead of taking the elevator. I'm talking about it. I just keep it in my pocket. I tell it what my goals are. I don't have to turn it on and say, oh, I'm going for a bike ride now. I just at the end of the week can see, oh, okay, my goal was this and I managed to achieve that. Oh, that was that time that I didn't leave the house for 2 days straight. Maybe I should make sure I don't ever do a three-peat of those things. So it gives me the sort of numbers that allow me to see, oh, okay, here's where I'm kind of slacking off, and here's to encourage me to find an excuse to go out at 7 p.m. on a Thursday when really I just want to sit at home and watch Golden Girls.
It's funny for me is I reluctantly and very reluctantly use the app I like to refer to as Shelf. Samsung S Health, I think they want you to call it. And again, it's just because it's integrated into the watch I have. It's integrated into the phone. I don't really need a lot of health stats. I just want to see how active I was at different parts, you know, of the day. And it does a really good job of that. You know, you can scroll back through previous days and you can be like, oh, you know, Saturday I was really active between these times. Good to know.
For my fitness-related app, I am going to go with Google Fit. It's just automatically integrated into it, so it works.
So the next category we have here is book/reading app. So basically, how do you get your news from the internet into yourself? And also, I guess, how do you read books? For me, it's a combination of a synced bookmarks in Chrome. I should really sign up for something like Pocket, but I do this thing where if I see something interesting on the web and it's, you know, miles long, I'll put it in a special folder that I know gets synced to all my devices and I read it later. For books, which I don't read a lot of these days, I probably should, I use Kindle just because it's everywhere. And then for catching up on stuff on the internet, I use Press, the RSS reader, which hasn't been updated in years, but I still use it. I like it. And Reddit Sync Pro is my Reddit client of choice for, you know, browsing the front page of the internet, as they call themselves.
And for my book reading app of choice, I'm going to go with audiobooks, and it's going to be Audible on Android Auto. And that's what I listen to as I drive into work. It's one thing that I had to admit to myself, and I was like, Yasmin, it's okay if you listen to audiobooks. It doesn't make you any less of a book connoisseur. So that is my app of choice.
I use Pocket a lot. I seem to want to use the Kindle app on things that are not my phone, but Pocket is the place where it not only does it help me give things to read when I'm waiting for a train or on a bus, it also helps me to not waste time in my office when I start to get really, really involved in a nice long New Yorker piece or something. Like, oh, bip, 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 bip. Click the Pocket button. It'll still be there in 3 days. You need to get to work now, son. Next, we have another sort of corral topic: to-do list, to-do managers, task managers, lists, project management apps, things that you use when you're trying to make the best use of your time, even though you've got a million different projects, and four of them are your children and/or relatives. The one that I kept bouncing around between a lot of them before, I seem to have landed on Todoist. For a couple of reasons, it is multi-platform, and if lists are going to be of any use to me, they have to be something I can use on my Mac, on my phones, on my tablets, or on the web, even if I don't have a phone, an app installed. And also the fact that it doesn't try to lock me into a certain methodology. I just create a list of things that occur to me, and if I want to turn that list into something that is a set of formal reminders with actual like phone beeping sort of stuff, I can do that. But if I just want to sort of remember things that I kind of want to get to eventually, I can do that as well. I know that Google Keep can do that, but I haven't dug that deeply into it. And maybe my brain works in such a way that I kind of want to go to a separate app for it that's optimized just for lists and projects.
Yeah, so for me, it's continuing the theme of not using apps from developers I love. I've seen the Todoist app, I've met their team, amazing people. But I use Google Keep and TextMate. And I know that's pretty low key, but I make all sorts of lists in TextMate. It's just a text editing app. And for the ones I want to share, you know, maybe with my wife, we use like a shared sort of Google account, and I put those in Google Keep. So very boring, but that's my system.
Yeah, I'm with you with the Todoist. If I'm just doing stuff single, like there's me if I'm the only one that needs to be a part of that project. But you know, I'm slowly getting into reminders, which integrate with Keep, Calendar, and Inbox all on Google. So it's actually getting pretty powerful. Before, it's always been kind of an issue to have reminders on Android, but it's slowly getting better. And so I'm looking into potentially using Keep, but Todoist is great because you can set automatic reminders like every day, do this at this time if you have different things. If I am collaborating with the team, I actually really like Trello. I like the visual cards. Those are nice.
So next up, we have utility app, which I guess encompasses pretty much everything. And mine is a bit of a shameful confession. I use an app called Easy Disabler Pro because if there's a downside of owning a Samsung device, it's they like to preload it with stuff. You know, hey, have some OneNote, have some all these other apps that you don't need. Luckily, this app doesn't require root access or anything. It's just available in the store. And it literally just presents a list and you're like, off, 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 off. And the thing I like is it shuts down the services that these apps run, and it removes the icon as well. So even though my app, my phone annoyingly comes pre-installed with OneNote, and OneNote is, yes, taking up space on there, I can be like, off, and then I never have to see the OneNote icon again.
And my utility app of choice is 1Password because it helps me, you know, see and access all of my passwords and generate new ones. And it's on the Mac and Android and iOS, so, and Windows too. So it's mostly everywhere. One password is it.
Yeah, same here. And I only really finally came into it after realizing that it's bad for me to have all my passwords in Apple's keychain. Because you have to have an Apple device to keep that working. And the number of times I cannot tell you how many times I've been in an airport checking in for a flight and having to like pull out my iPad and open up. And I've actually had to connect back to my computer back home because that's where I know my frequent flyer number is. And I have to get it. The ability to have every single note everywhere is just super, super great. And I wish I'd embraced 1Password, multi-platform, secure password and note storage and syncing absolutely everywhere. Let's see. Next we have, we're skipping around a little bit, favorite photo editor app. Kind of a tie for me. We don't necessarily have to pick one for different, two for different reasons. Lightroom is, absolutely love it. I'm using it on the desktop, and the amount of fine control, as a photography nerd, the ability to think, that's a great photo, the color is okay, I just wish that those blues were a little less intense. And being able to specifically say, I know what I want, just take the blues and make them a little bit less intense. That's really, really great. But I also have so much fun with Prisma. It's beaten the last drops of photo editor snobbery out of me, because it's so much fun just to see what this app is going to do with a photo that, even if you like the photo, it's like, oh, I had no idea it could look that cool. It doesn't look like a freakish thing. It looks like something that I've decided that it looks better this way. So it has to be a tie.
Yeah, that's interesting. See, for me, it's Google Photos mainly. I find 95% of the time the little sliders and things that they have in there are perfect. And occasionally, just to be different, I kick things into Instagram and see what it can do. I guess I'm mainly trying to stylize like a bad photo that I took. So sometimes, you know, your camera will be moving or something. You'll take a terrible photo. It'll be in terrible lighting. You're like, how do I fix this? Ah, filters. Like, wee, done.
My photo editor app of choice is, I guess, Google Photos. The editor of choice is whatever is built in to the social media sharing app that I'm using. So if I'm going to use Twitter, usually, I mean, it's not the best editor, but I'll usually go in there if I'm going to share it on other ones like Instagram or whatnot, use that. So Google Photos, I go in there to adjust stuff, and I will do that. But mostly, yeah, I don't really edit. I will say that one of my favorite filters is from VisoCam, or is it VCSO? I don't know actually how to pronounce. The filters are great, but I am sorry, whoever was the UX designer on that job was, because they got really creative with their icons, but I never know what I'm hitting and what it's doing. So I love your filters. It's just really hard to use the app.
And now, related to photo editors, what app do you use to call it a photo backup service to make sure that if your phone gets destroyed, you still get your photos, or just whatever service or app you use to make sure that you can always get at your photos when you need to show someone cool, or make sure that you can get them on all devices. I have all these services that are just enabled automatically. My answer is kind of all of them. I have to say that I use Google Photos when I'm looking for kind of an intelligent, where is all my photos that I've used on all my devices. But I will say the one that I rely on is actually Dropbox syncing, because the way that I need to get back at certain photos, it really is, I just need the file. I don't want to have to see how you've organized it and search for, here's a memory, but you need to, it's categorized under a sub moment, which we call a feeling. Now, which feeling, it was last week, it was August like 21st. Show me a file that has .jpg at the end of it, and that's the one I want, because I want to put this into an editor. Thank you. Stop helping me. Just give me the file. And so Dropbox is the one that's most handy to me.
I think I might be the opposite of you, Andy. I switched to Google Photos, I think, about a year ago. I have 70 gigabytes worth of photos of movies in there. And so for me, the fact that you can search them, they're all, you know, backed up onto Google servers, that was amazing. I'm 99% of the way there of just like trusting Google completely with my photos. But I still do use, they have a feature called Google Takeout. So you can say, hey, can I have a complete backup of all my photos? It's a pain to get 70 gigabytes off a Google server, let me tell you, on rusty internet. But I do try and pull that file down when I can and store it, you know, somewhere like a Drobo or somewhere else, you know. I have the physical thing. So if Google goes away for whatever reason, hopefully I have some of my photos left.
Yeah, my photo backup service of choice is, again, Google Photos, just for the amazing, amazing integration that it has. And you can share with Album, and it's unlimited. So it's free unlimited. So it's awesome. But I do have a Dropbox account, and I also have all those being uploaded to Dropbox. So I kind of get best of both worlds. But I will say that I dragged the photos that were in Dropbox that weren't in Google Photos back into Google Photos, just because it provides the most useful information in terms of, hey, this is what you were doing X years ago. Or, hey, let me convert all those awesome images and photos from that party you were at into an awesome video. So it is down.
We're about to wrap up, but I actually added a few kind of weird ones to the end just to make this less boring than to-do list managers. So slightly weird categories. First, what is your app of apps, the third party app that you absolutely can't live without? And we're going to exclude. It's sort of like what's the third most powerful army in the world, because there's a big drop off after the web browser, your email client, and that. Russell, what's yours?
Mine is Slack. I absolutely live in Slack. I'm in so many different Slack channels. I love their service. I love how well it's implemented. Everything updates, everything works. I don't particularly love their user interface. I don't know how, but I'm sure it can be improved. But the service itself is, I'd probably easily spend 20% of my day in there. It's just, that's the thing I use everywhere.
Yeah, I can't get past the day with Slack. It integrates to, that's how I communicate with a lot of people. So Slack is the one. And Google Now is really helpful assistant. And I don't really, it's one of those apps that just helps me and I don't have to really think about using it.
Yeah, that would have been mine if not for I'd had to stick to third party stuff. I had to choose Todoist because my life is complicated enough, or I'm getting old enough that I can no longer be, hey, I'm a young journalist, I fly, I just remember everything. No, you don't, Andy. Every time you have a thought, you have to record it in to-do list. Every time you have something you need to get done, you have to write it down on a list somewhere, or else you'll never see it. So to-do list helps me get through my day and through my career. The next one I came up with, tell us about an app that you didn't even realize was on your phone until you opened up your app drawer and looked just now to answer this question. We're talking about stuff that you maybe installed 6 months ago, you used it for a day, but then you forgot about it. For me, the one that I wanted to pick was, I actually raised my eyebrows and said, oh, Science Journal. This is an app that Google released mainly for students, but it's a really cool graphical app that will just simply graph, here's what the accelerometer is seeing, here's what the temperature things are seeing. So if you want to do like science experiments, taping your phone to your dog's back to see how fast he runs and how hard he lands when he jumps down the stairs, it's weird. And now I got to start playing with it again.
My app, Andy, was literally one open in my app drawer. I'm like, what the? There's an app in there called PenUp, and I have no idea what this app does. I don't know if Samsung installed this app
or
PenUp, not PenUp. I opened it just now and it says share your drawings. PenUp is a social network for communicating through artwork. So either Samsung, being the wonderful people that they are, have chosen to push this on my phone, or I know Phil has an account that I use to log in on here. Phil, my coworker, he may well have remote installed this as a joke. I don't know, but there's an app on here called PenUp. So there you go.
Mine is Jimmy John's, which is in the U.S. is a sandwich company, and I ordered sandwiches from their app, and so I have it on there, which just reminds me, I don't ever use it, so once Instant Apps actually gets out into the world, that would be amazing, because I can order Jimmy John's and not actually have to have the app installed on my phone.
We're going to reduce our app count by 30% once we have these things. And the last one, this is going to be a mystery for all of us. I listed it here as a mystery category. I want you to come up with a category and not tell the other two what that is, and have us tell you what your most useful or most can't do without it thing in this category is. So this is the first time. It's not in the show notes. Where we are going off the top of our heads right now. And Russell, why don't you start us off?
All right. So I know that.
Oh, and by the way, you have to say what you use for this too.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, I'll go last. So I know that all three of us run Mac laptops, and I want to know, what is the quirkiest app you have installed on your Mac? And not by accident, what's one that's quirky and you use?
Let's see. I'm gonna have to get the initiate launchpad. Just take a look. Okay. Go ahead. I'll answer.
I don't know if it's quirky, but I recently got DeckSet, in which allows you to create decks, like presentation decks, out of a Markdown file, which is actually really, really slick. So I don't know if it's quirky, but it kind of is. It's kind of cool. So I'm going to go recommend DeckSet.
For quirky, I would have to say, I'm going to go fair here. I'm going to just go on my launcher to see what's actually been running. And I probably have to say Aurora HDR Pro, which is technically, I mean, it's an HDR program, but it is so good at just simply taking, if you just put one photo in there, you don't have to take like a sequence of HDR photos, although it works greatest with that. It will just take a photo that you took with your phone that doesn't have a whole lot of dynamic range, and it will just make it look kind of awesome. And then it will give you little sliders way better than the Photos desktop app or any other one. It's kind of like having Photoshop and Lightroom all in one app that you don't have to throw something into a library in order to do. So it's probably quirky in that I shouldn't be using an HDR app as like a desktop photo editor, but I am.
My quirky app that I found recently is an app called Dash. It's in its third version, and it is an expandy app. So you can type, for example, my favorite thing is I type :1, and it fills out with the one star. So one filled star, you know, four empty stars. And I think that's hilarious when you're typing in chat messages and things. You can be like one star, you know, table flip, shrug, and it auto fills all that stuff out. Also, yeah, just if you have anything you email people a lot, you can just be like, okay, here's the thing that goes at the bottom. And you just type a little word and it expands it out in all your apps.
Okay, Yasmeen, it's time for you to hit us with your question.
All right, I took a turn and I asked, if you worked at Google, what would your 20% project be? Ooh, okay, all right. You got to think about that. Think about that real quickly, because I'm going to tell you what my 20% project would be. My 20% project would definitely be getting more Latinas into tech and more women into tech. And so I would be creating, you know, like app camps similar to, you know, ones I've been a part of already, but, you know, obviously Google focus and going into communities and just, you know, having awesome role models that women can look up to and get involved into technology. So that would be my 20% project. I'm pretty sure it would take over 20%, but that would be one of my stuff. So yeah, so teaching kids how to code and design and get into tech, that would be my 20% project.
Mine would probably be, it would probably involve how to optimize the last 2 miles between a public transportation system and your house. It might even integrate with Google Maps. It has when I'm using Google Maps to get to the city or whatever, I have to fake it and say that, oh, let's say I'm starting my voyage at this train station that I know is 3 miles away from my house. I think people would have much better awareness of how easy it is to connect by walking, by bicycling, by whatever, by an electric vehicle, if you had a service or some sort of thinking that could say that, hey, you usually go from here to here. If you decide to board at this place, here is a walking route that will get you to this hub. And or it looks like you could really do well with a electric car that has an only 30 mile range. That's off the top of my head what I would do.
I think for me it's the same. I'd solve a pain point and I'd try and figure out how to get faster internet to Australia, because we are 24, 26 million people with extremely slow internet, and there has to be some way to fix this. It hurts me every single time I have to upload this show. I wait 15 minutes to upload a 50 meg show. It's great. That's selfish, I know. I'm sorry, but it's what I want.
You know, there is a thing called Project Loon that helps people that don't have any internet access, Russell. No, I'm just teasing.
Probably still faster than the internet we have here. Yes,
totally teasing. Yeah, that slow internet, that's killer. That's killer.
Okay, and finally, my question, which is not quite so personal, but might be more revealing than any of us know. What is your favorite gadget inside the kitchen that's not electronic or mechanical? The thing that you rely on it. Mine is actually an egg slicer. It's one of those, like, has wires on it. It's designed to, like, slice a hard-boiled egg into, like, little slices. And I bought it when I got on a hard-boiled egg kick for a little while, but then I stopped eating hard-boiled eggs. But now it's like anytime I've got like a soft vegetable or I need cheese for a pizza, it's like I can either go slice, 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 find the right knife, or I can just go plop, squeeze. Hey, look, I've got 10 slices of cheese. Oh, hey, look, I've got like sliced potatoes here. So I use that all. I actually had to replace it last week because I broke one of the strings on it. So yes, it's an egg slicer.
Ooh.
You said non-electronical, so I am going to go with my AeroPress. We use it to make coffee every morning, and it isn't electronical, so there we go. So you have to manually push down on the press in order to make coffee, so I am going to go with AeroPress.
I'm going to go with my potato slicey thing, which is, I don't know, probably has a name. It's like it's a grid of just like metal horizontally, metal vertically, about sort of, I don't know, 1 centimeter, you know, squares. And all you do is you take a potato, you put it in it, you push down really, really hard because this thing's not very sharp. And out the other end comes, what do you guys call them, fries, chips?
Yep,
basically, fries. Yeah, ready to be deep fried into potato-y goodness.
So men, for all of our cultural like detachment, we like knives, we like blades, we just don't like cutting things. We want something to cut things for us. This is what we've learned.
Exactly.
So we hope that you enjoyed our bonus episode. And if this is your first time listening to us, come check it out. Check us out at Material Podcast at relay.fm/material for all those members that supported us. Honestly, thank you, thank you, thank you. We do the show because we love, you know, talking about Google and Android and coming together every week, all three of us, and just having a good time and talking about tech. But you know what? We really do love hearing from you listeners, and by you supporting us and being a member of Relay FM or our show, you know, it really does mean a lot to us. So thank you for giving us your hard-earned dollars to get this episode out there. Woo! So yay. So next year we'll see what we do on that. So thanks everyone for listening. Until next time. Oh wait, I gotta ask people where they're from. I am so throwing this out. Andy, where can people find you?
Spell my last name, go to anatko.com. I'm Anatko on Twitter, also Anatko on Instagram.
And Russell, where can people connect with you?
Rusty Shelf on Twitter.
And I'm at Yasmin Evian on Twitter. You can find us at Material Podcast on Twitter. Send us feedback, materialpodcast@gmail.com, or find us on the web at relay.fm/material. Until next time, stay in material.
Bonus level achieved.
Yay! All right, we'll edit that.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, Russell will edit that out. Russell's going to be editing this episode, so now we just get to just go blah 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 blah.
Bottoms.
Bottoms.
Oh, let's not start this again.
All right, to kick us. Oh my gosh, to kick us off.